Wisconsin Sports Daily, 12:50 a.m. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Charlie Hughes in producing the show, other side of the glass. Joining us now, as he will on Tuesdays, right around this time. Now, again, it's all going to revolve around the Brewers schedule, but providing the schedule works out like it did today, at 2:40 every Tuesday throughout the remainder of the Brewers season, my guy, Tim Dillard, former Brewers pitcher, analyst now for Bally Sports Wisconsin for Milwaukee Brewers baseball games, will join us at 2:40, brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant. Check them out at thefourthbase.com. You remember it from the movie Major League, the Horseshoe Bar. It's right there by American Family Field, right across from like the Veterans Hospital. It is, the food is just out of this world amazing. CJ does a great job running that place. They do a lot of different cool charity and different events and stuff like that. And the food is high end. When you walk in, you're going to be like, oh, this is a burger and a beer place. And then you quickly realize that they got steak, they got crab legs sometimes, they got lobster sometimes. Like, it is amazing. That steak sandwich, by far, is my favorite. Tim Dillard, what's your favorite thing to eat over there at Fourth Base?
I mean, I honestly just close my eyes and point at the menu, right?
It's so good. It is absolutely so good over there at Fourth Base. All right, so let's talk a little bit, Tim, about this Brewers team. Last night, actually, let's go before last night. Yesterday afternoon on this show, I said that if they turn Joe Ross into a legit guy that ends up being a producer in this rotation, people are going to want to know what the Brewers' secret sauce is, because I think already they think there's some type of secret sauce going on inside that Brewers pitching lab and everything else, because they're tending to get guys that, you know, maybe haven't had as much success elsewhere, and the Brewers get a hold of them, and away they go, and they flourish quite a bit. Your thoughts on what you saw from Joe Ross last night, even though he had that one shaky inning?
Yeah, we talked about it on the postgame show, and it's hard to convince a pitcher, especially in the moment, that even though you didn't get the results, the bones were there, the foundation was there. I thought he threw the ball spectacular for three innings, had a small hiccup in the fourth. I brought up a very specific instance where he was on the rocks, had a man on base. He threw a 3-1 slider to Profar, who's been red hot, ends up getting 3-2. Now he's in the driver's seat a little bit more and ends up getting a pop out. So there was moments where he needed to dig down and make a pitch, and he did. And the fifth inning was just, I mean, if anything could go wrong, it went wrong. There was a walk on a pitch timer violation, catcher's interference, a pass ball, just some very, you know, rare occurrences that all culminate, you know, came to fruition in one inning. And the defense, you know, they got some bad jumps on some balls, which is super rare. So did he throw the ball well? Absolutely. Is the box score going to show that? No. And so what I like is that Pat Murphy said this exact same thing. I think he watches our postgame show and then does his postgame interview.
Of course.
That's what I'm going to start thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But he did say he loves the way that Joe Ross throws the baseball. And, I mean, he was a good pitcher before he was injured. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, the Brewers probably helped him as far as once he got healthy. The Brewers just built a pitching lab, I believe, out in Arizona. At least I think that's what that secret building was.
Yep.
While I was out in spring. But either way, the Brewers, the secret sauce is just trying to maximize the gifts that a pitcher already has and tries not to turn them into anything that they're not.
But you and I have talked about this in the past, but now since we're back on the radio again, let's talk about it a second time. I mean, there's pitching coaches all over the minors. There's pitching coaches in the majors. But what makes a great pitching coach like Chris Hook? I mean, you've told me in the past, you know, some of your favorite pitching coaches and what they do versus some others that didn't do the same.
Yeah, it's paying attention. It's paying attention. Chris Hook was my pitching coach, man, 10 years ago. That makes me sound old. But anyway, I was the oldest guy in AA. He was my pitching coach. And I literally just changed one small thing to my delivery during throwing program with David Goforth. You remember Goforth?
I do.
And we were playing catch, changed one minor thing with my front side. And for the most part, you know, being the oldest guy in the league, Hook and I were closer to the same age than me and some of my teammates. So, you know, he didn't really try to micro anything with me. He kind of just let me do my thing. So anyway, I pitched that night. I think the eighth inning, close game, came in the dugout and he just said, hey, did you change a little something with that front side delivery? And I was like, yeah. He goes, when did that occur? And I was like, I don't know, maybe 3 hours ago. And I mean, it dawns on me that I started looking back. My favorite pitching coaches are the ones that paid attention. They pay attention when you're in the bullpen. They pay attention on the mound. They can see when something's different, and that's your job. And I'm going to be honest, not all pitching coaches can do that, and especially can't do that across an entire roster of pitchers that you have to cover. So kudos to him, but also surrounding himself with people that do the same thing. They got Jim Henderson now. So the more eyes that you trust, the better. And I just, it's a rarity. It really is. As many coaches I've had, I can't, you know, each one has their own gifts. But Chris Hook pays attention more than almost any person I've ever come across.
He is Tim Dillard, Valley Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant, seafood and steak, and oh, it's so good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Uribe. With Pat Murphy over the weekend pitching him, I believe it was in the seventh inning, in a meaty part of the lineup against the Orioles. Now, obviously it makes sense. That's your best reliever out of your bullpen. Bring him in. If you get through that part of it, you feel better about the eighth and the ninth, even though you won't have your closer at that point. However, as a fan, not as a pitcher like you, but as a fan, I've seen it happen so much where a closer pitches in a non-save situation and gets blown up, or pitches in a different inning outside of the ninth inning and gets blown up. How much of that is just mental and it being different when you're not in your routine pitching in the same situation?
Well, I honestly don't think that was the case for Uribe. It's not like Craig Kimbrell coming in the fourth inning, right? Like, he's not, right. He hasn't been around that long, I think, for that to be normal for him. You know, he's not Trevor Hoffman, come out for two innings, leave, and come back in the seventh. Like, he's willing to take on any role. I don't think he's settled on anything. I think he just wants the ball. But I will say this, he's been struggling with his slider. When we talk about this, we got a podcast episode coming out, Brewers Unfiltered. Check it out on wherever you get your podcast. Shameless plug.
Odyssey app as well. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're Adam McCalvey and Sophia Minner and myself, we talk about this. And my point was that when you're coming out of spring training, the one thing that you usually don't have the most control over is your off-speed stuff, and primarily your breaking ball. Very rarely is someone in Arizona snapping off legit curveballs. It's just tough to do. It's the last thing that develops throughout a season. So I think for him, his fastball is amazing. Right now, his slider he's missing with it. And because he's missing with it, hitters don't have to worry about it. So they've written that off, and they're hitting fastball. And so when you're a guy that only has to throw fastball because he has no confidence in the slider, you get hit around a little bit and you start trying to make things super perfect, and that is not who he needs to be. So once you start seeing these sliders land, the fastball is going to get way better again. And honestly, that's really all it is. It's just a matter of time. His stuff plays now and will always play, but I don't think it was because he's in the seventh inning type situation. I think it was having trouble of just finding the location with the slider.
Pat Murphy always makes fun of Wade Miley for being an old guy, which I get. He pitched well his last outing coming off of being hurt. Gets Dylan Cease coming up tonight, the former White Sox pitcher going for the Padres tonight. What makes Wade Miley as good as Wade Miley has been with the Brewers?
Well, I mean, he likes pitching for the Brewers. You know, he had that stint that was one of the best seasons of his career. He leaves, it doesn't go as well, comes back, and has another great season last year. Already started off really well his last time out, four innings. No strikeouts, couple of walks, but no runs. I think what makes him interesting is that batters in particular, opposing teams, they can play months and not face a pitcher like Wade Miley. He's a rarity. If you think about the Padres lineup today, they got Jackson Merrill, he's 20 years old. I doubt Jackson Merrill has faced that many pitchers like Wade Miley, where he's not going to throw super hard. He's going to change speeds on you. He's going to challenge you by pitching inside, and that he's willing to let you hit the baseball. You know, it's not a lot of swing and miss stuff. It's here, I want you to swing it. And when a guy's not throwing 95 plus or 100 plus, I guess in this day and age, the pressure is almost on the hitter. Okay, here, hit this baseball. And the hitters feel that. So they get over-anxious and start swinging at pitches, and it's all about missing barrels. I think what Wade Miley does a great job of, he throws the unexpected, knowing that the pressure's on them to swing, and he misses barrels. And listen, if you surround a pitcher like that with a superb defense, The result is Wade Miley doing what he does and putting up zeros.
I got one last one for you, Tim Dillard, and that is Freddy Peralta and the sheer dominance that it looks like he transformed into versus previous. I mean, he gets thrust into the number one role. Woodruff hurt. They bring him back, even though he's not going to pitch this year. Burns is in Baltimore, and they go, okay, Freddy, you're the ace. Go do it. And he's done it very well so far.
Yeah, he's an ace. He was an ace before. And, I mean, honestly, you look back at his second half of the season last year, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. And he hasn't stopped. And I think he's embraced the role Pat Murphy talks about all the time. But what I love about Freddie, we were teammates years ago, watching him develop, he is the exact same guy, right? Like, the only thing that's different is his age. That's it. He's the exact same guy. He loves coming to the field. He loves digging in with his teammates. I saw him out for early work at American Family Field the other day, and he was power shagging batting practice, early batting practice at around 2:30. Just an amazing individual that knows how to pitch, and he pitches the old school kind of way of feel because he has so many things that he can rely on in his arsenal. He just watches the hitter, and I love that because I felt like it took me a long time in my career to kind of learn what the hitter was trying to do and for me to pitch accordingly. So if he sees a guy that's getting good swings on his heater up, he's going to do something different. If he sees a guy sitting on a slider or a curveball, like, he recognizes that very quickly. And I think having William Contreras behind the dish, they are so on the same page. I'm not even sure they use pitch gum. I feel like they just wink at each other and know what's up.
Hey, I got to say, I love having you back, but I'm going to miss the Car School Line videos that was happening.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss that because on Tim's Twitter account, if you go back and look, he always was lip-syncing movies or singing songs. I don't know where the idea came from, but I thought they were funny.
Yeah, well, my youngest, he's 8 years old, and the bus system where we live was kind of having problems, so he was getting home almost at dark, right? So off-season, I'm not working, no baseball. I would go pick him up, and I'm sitting in this car line for like an hour.
Yep.
And I just, man, trapped in a car with just myself and my brain, I don't wish that on anybody. So I just decided, well, I was going to have some fun with it. And I ended up shooting about 50, 55 videos of me trapped in the car, doing anything from commercials to music videos to, TV shows, movies.
Yep.
It didn't matter. I was like, whatever was on the docket that day. And anyway, if you have nothing to do right now, I invite you to go look at those videos on social media.
Yeah, I listen to 1250 and then watch his videos. They're very funny. I'm telling you. They're good. They're good stuff. At Dim Taylor on Twitter.
I'll update you, though. So they fixed the bus system right around opening day. I was leaving out to do opening day in New York when the Brewers were playing the Mets. And they got the bus system fixed, so now he gets to ride the bus, which is what he wants to do anyway.
So you wouldn't be doing it now anyhow. So it really worked out perfectly timing-wise.
It's over.
Yeah, that's good. I love it. Tim Dillard, follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard, Valley Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday, my friend. Appreciate it.
Yep. Great. Thanks, Sparky.
You bet. You take care of that. He is brought to you by Fourth Base, a restaurant again. That is where the Major League movie was filmed, inside that little horseshoe restaurant. Again, steakhouse and seafood restaurant. And I promise you, when you walk in, you're going to be like, Sparky said it's a steakhouse and seafood restaurant. This looks like a beer and burger bar. Try the food. Just try the food. And when you try the food, take a picture. And tweet it at Sparky Ray and go, damn, this stuff is good. How the heck have I never been here before? Telling you, man. Yeah, I promise you, you are not going to tweet me and be like, ah, it wasn't that bad. It was all right. It wasn't great. I don't know anybody that's went there and hasn't raved about that place, including myself.